So today I'll be presenting to you youth perceptions of parental attitudes about sex, implications for promoting intergenerational communication within the African American community. I have no relationships to disclose. African American youth suffer disproportionately from negative consequences related to early engagement and sexual risk behaviors. While there are a variety of social and psychological consequences to early initiation of sexual risk behaviors, there are also a number of physical repercussions, such as unintended pregnancy and risk of contracting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. Data from 2010 tells us that rates of teen pregnancy among 15 to 19-year-olds are 126 per thousand for African Americans, 127 per thousand for Hispanics, and 44 per thousand for whites. While it is important to note that within the last 5 to 10 years, teen pregnancy rates have declined, it is also important to recognize that there are still important disparities between minority and non-minority groups. In 2009, the chlamydia rate for African American youth, again ages 15 to 19, was nearly 7 times higher than that for whites and 3 times higher than the rate for Hispanics. The gonorrhea rate for African American youth was approximately 17 times higher and 10 times higher than those for whites and Hispanics, respectively. Similarly, HIV rates for African Americans ages 15 to 19 years were over 20 times higher than those for their white counterparts and approximately 5 times higher than those for Hispanics. Given these persistently disproportionate rates, efforts directed towards enhancing the reproductive health of these adolescents are warranted. One method of addressing adolescent sexual risk is intergenerational communication. Intergenerational communication is traditionally the downstream flow of information from an older generation to a younger one, which can include the transmission of culture, values, beliefs, and lived experiences. As relates to sexual health, research has shown that encouraging parents or other primary guardians to communicate with their children about sex reduces adolescent sexual risk. Although the majority of research studies addressing intergenerational sexual communication have been limited to white middle-class samples, several researchers have recently examined these issues within the African-American community. In 2006, Dancy et al. Conducted a community-based study of over 500 African-American adolescent females and their mothers. Study results suggested that actively incorporating mothers into behavioral interventions with their daughters to reduce HIV incidence is both cost-effective and critical to improving the sexual health of African-American adolescents. A more recent study published by Kapungu and colleagues found that African-American mothers communicated more frequently with their daughters than sons, and that greater sexual communication among adolescents and their mothers was significantly associated with decreased HIV risk in the past 90 days and increased protection from HIV. These study findings underscore the importance of employing strategies which integrate parents and guardians into interventions with their adolescents to serve as educators and to reinforce prevention messages in order to reduce adolescent sexual risk. Despite these findings, there are still several challenges to intergenerational communication that are of note and that we acknowledge as gaps in the literature. The bulk of extant research conducted to determine the impact of intergenerational communication on sexual risk has been conducted with majority white middle-class samples. Secondly, there has been some inconsistency regarding what frequency of communication, what conversational content, and how the values communicated within the conversations impact risk. Third, many parents cite discomfort in discussing sex with their children and lack the skills regarding how to do so. Taking all of the aforementioned into consideration, what we wanted to find out is for those parents who do find it difficult to talk to their children about sex, are their attitudes still communicated to their children? So as such, we had a twofold purpose of our study. First, we wanted to determine adolescents' perceptions of their parents' attitudes about sex. And then secondly, we wanted to assess if these perceptions impacted their engagement in sexual risk behavior. Our study sample consisted of African American adolescents ages 9 to 19 who were taken from an urban population in the southern U.S. and were low income. Regarding recruitment, we obtain parental consent and child consent for youth under the age of 19. We also gave a $15 cash incentive. And all of our study procedures were reviewed and approved by our institutional review board. Regarding our instrument, it was self-administered anonymous paper and pencil survey with measures about demographic characteristics, communication about sex with parent, sexual behavior, and perceived parental attitude about sex. Our analyses was conducted using SPSS, and we used t-test and chi-square analyses and ended with a sample size of 459. As far as results, as can be seen in table one, the sample is predominantly female with an average age between 13 and 14 years old. Nearly all of the participants receive free or reduced cost lunches at school. A slight majority of the adolescents report being able to have an honest and open discussion about sex with their parents, with only about 45% reporting ever having done so. Regarding the adolescents' perception of their parents' feelings about sex, most think that their parents would be angry if they got pregnant or got someone pregnant during the next year. Statistically significant gender differences are evident with respect to parental views on getting pregnant or getting someone pregnant during the next year, with males reporting significantly lower levels of perception of parental anger or unhappiness if involved in a pregnancy compared to females. We also found interesting differences between males and females in their responses to their parents not caring one way or another if they got someone pregnant or if they got pregnant. Nearly 40% of the sample had ever had sex, and with respect to the sexually active adolescents, which we see here in Table 2, males are typically younger than their female counterparts and first had sex at a younger age, with that being nearly age 13 for males compared to age 15 for females. Also, there is a statistically significant gender difference regarding perceptions of parental views on getting pregnant or getting someone pregnant during the next year, with males again reporting lower levels of perception of parental anger if involved in a pregnancy than the females, and the females reporting higher levels of parental happiness with such an outcome. Table 3 provides a partial summary, which is continued on the next slide, of the sexually active males and their perceptions of their parents' attitude regarding a variety of sexual behaviors. As you can see here, we found a significant difference among sexually active males who had sex during the past 3 months, with a greater proportion of them saying that their parents would be angry if they got someone pregnant compared to those who thought their parents would be happy or wouldn't care. Here we see that specifically for sexually active males, the number of sexual partners in the past year is significantly lower for those who report that their parents would be angry if they got someone pregnant during the next year than for those reporting that their parents would think otherwise. Moreover, a greater proportion of males who think their parents would be angry if they were involved in a pregnancy during the next year had sex while drunk or high during the past 3 months than their counterparts, although the percentage difference was marginally significant. In the next two slides, what we'll see is that for females, there were no statistically significant differences between the two groups, that being those who think their parents would be happy or wouldn't care if they got pregnant, compared to those who think their parents would be angry. These are the same measures that we used for the males in the previous slides. Our findings suggest the adolescents certainly have an opinion regarding their parents' attitudes about sex and sexual risk consequences, that these differences tend to differ by gender, and that these differences seem to affect their decision to engage in sexual risk behaviors. Slightly more than half of the adolescents in our sample felt that they could talk to their parents about sex, yet a noticeably smaller proportion reported actually having done so. While it is promising that the youth felt a level of comfort in possibly talking about sex with their parents, the fact that many of these youth and their parents had not done so does warrant further investigation. One particular perception, that is, how adolescents thought their parents would feel if they got someone pregnant or got pregnant, yielded interesting results. As expected, most of the sample perceived that their parents would be angry if they got pregnant or got someone pregnant, with significantly more females than males feeling this way. In fact, research has shown that parents believe that the consequences of adolescent sexual activity are more deleterious for females than males. However, The most unexpected finding is among those who thought their parents would be indifferent, that is, they wouldn't care one way or the other. Among all participants, as well as a subset of those who were sexually experienced, more than twice as many males as females responded that their parents wouldn't care if they got someone pregnant. While previous research has shown that males and females often differ in how they receive information from their parents about sex, we suggest that these youth who may think their parents wouldn't care, particularly the males, are a group that deserves special attention. Regarding whether adolescents' perceptions of their parents' attitudes about sex impacted their sexual behaviors, we found that in several cases, youth who perceived that their parents would be angry if they got pregnant or got someone pregnant engaged in significantly fewer sexual risk behaviors compared to those who perceived their parents would be happy. These findings support the growing body of literature highlighting the protective effect of parental communication about sex on delay or reduction in adolescent risk behaviors. Our study contributes to this body of research with the suggestion that even in the absence of these conversations, youth not only have a clear perception about how their parents would feel about their engagement in sexual risk behaviors, these perceptions influence their decisions to engage in or delay these behaviors. Regarding the strengths of our study, we are one of few studies focused on low-income urban African-American youth, the group that is most affected by the negative consequences associated with adolescent sexual risk. Secondly, in light of the fact that many parents express discomfort in talking to their children about sex and report lacking the skills to do so, we were still able to assess the impact of youth perceptions on their parents' attitudes on their risk. One of our limitations was our parental attitudes question. While we feel that the question, which was how do you think your mother or father would feel if you got pregnant or got someone pregnant during the next year, that question in itself does yield important results. We recognize that this question and its responses may be actually a proxy for how parents feel about sex. Views about pregnancy may in fact differ from views about sex in general. Such a distinction would be important to make in our future research. Our sample size limited the ability to make some important statistical comparisons among that group of participants who felt that their parents were indifferent if they got someone pregnant. Our sample consisted of low-income African-American youth living in the southern U.S. While this is a critical population to study and our findings contribute to the limited body of literature on the perceptions of African-American youth on their parents' attitudes about sex, we do acknowledge that our results have limited generalizability to other groups who may not share the characteristics of our sample. Also, even though our surveys were self-administered, participants may have been inclined to provide socially desirable responses to sensitive information on sexual behavior. However, this limitation is mitigated by our methodological assessment of consistency of responses. And finally, our data were cross-sectional, thus inhibiting our ability to make any causal inferences. So in conclusion, our research contributes to and extends the growing body of literature regarding the impact of intergenerational communication on adolescent sexual risk. Even the implied attitudes of parents or youth perceptions of their parents' attitudes are associated with reduced risk-taking behaviors. And adolescent risk prevention interventions should integrate parents as a message delivery source and convey the importance of intergenerational communication to reducing sexual risk. Spreading information by word of mouth has a long-standing tradition in the African-American community at large, and capitalizing on this approach within the family and in the public health arena could prove to enhance the reproductive health of African-American adolescents. I would like to acknowledge the study participants. Also, we had neighborhood associations that were very influential in making sure that we had their buy-in and therefore access to the youth populations. Also, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Brad Leon and Dr. Faith Fletcher, and also finally the UAB Community Health Scholars Program, for which partial funding for this research was provided. I do have references here if you'd like to look at them at your leisure. That concludes my presentation. Are we going to do questions?